So, he's claimed it all. Well, when Wade earlier mentioned the the announcements, but Beatrice and Jason weren't here. So, congratulations, guys. We heard you're engaged. And also condolences for your grandmother. So that's a hard one. So I really wanted to ask some questions this morning. First of all, have you guys ever been searching for something? Everyone must have at some point. Have you ever searched for something that you didn't have a description for? Someone just says, I've lost this, can you find it? Thanks. Yeah, I'll keep my eyes open for that one for sure. It's just not going to happen. You know, you need a description. It's vital. There's never an Amber Alert or a missing person alert that has no description on it, a detailed description on the person that they're looking for or the object that they are looking for. So today I ask you, what are you looking for? Some of us are looking for happiness. Some of us are looking for maybe finances or just peace and quiet. A lot of people at Christmas season are looking for rest. They just want to be able to rest and relax and to enjoy their own time. And, we'll get on to that your own time thing later, but it's very important to understand that all these things that we are looking at for may not be that important after all. And that I would like to ask, how many people truly, truly are looking for salvation? Some of us have salvation. We know that. We are assured. Other people may not in this room. And, that is a major concern for me. And I hope this message really helps you and gets you to the place where you have, where you're on the right path to find salvation. That salvation is not, being saved from financial difficulties or different things in life. It is being saved from an eternity in hell. And that's what we're talking about today. It's not a nice thing. And that is very important. And we know that I think it's going to be 3 days from now, we're going to be celebrating the birth of a baby. Well, why is that significant? And to a lot of people, it isn't. Christmas is going to be a time to get more finances and more objects that they can probably quickly destroy and use for a while or forget about them, and it loses its luster very quickly. And there is a major celebration going on that a lot of people don't realize, and that there was a baby born. And the Old Testament prophecies is what leads us to the description of what our Messiah or what our Savior is and what to look for. And so I want to go back into the Old Testament and go through, and there's nine things I want to go through of prophecy that will, I believe, definitely point to, that's good. That will point to the Jesus Christ being the Messiah. And the one question I have to ask you to constantly reconsider as I'm speaking here today is, do you recognize him? That's the key. So, do you recognize him? Okay. But first, before we get there, I want to look back. Why do we need a Savior? Well, we all know, well, most of us know this, but Adam and Eve, they were created by God. They sinned. They fell short. They created an eternal separation from God. And right at that point, we needed a Savior. And God did not leave us hanging. And He made some promises. And in the Bible, it's only a few chapters after, but in actual years and timeline, I'm not sure how long had passed, but God never leaves us hanging for that long. If we're looking for an answer, it's there. And He promised a solution. And, you know, sometimes those solutions are not, you know, very cut and dry. And, you know, sometimes don't you just wish that the Bible had a book dedicated to itself, or a chapter at least, where it said, this is the salvation plan, and this is, you know, how it's going to go. Well, God doesn't do that. He, over thousands of years, slowly, through different prophets at different times, put out different clues. And there is a pattern to that, that we will discuss later. But it's, you know, it's important to have that heart that is searching. And if you search for it, you will find the Savior. If you don't want to search, you will not find Him. And as I said, that grieves me. That's not what anyone wants. We all want everyone to go to heaven. And the sad truth is that most of the people in this world will not. And the only way to get there is through Jesus Christ. So let's see. Do you recognize Him? Okay, so number one. The Messiah will come from the line of Abraham. If you want to turn there, you can, but we're going to go through kind of quickly because we're already kind of running out of time. But it's in Genesis 12:3. It says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. You all the families of the earth, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That promise was made to Abraham. And there was a, you know, it was said more than once to Abraham. That was just one of the examples. And so we fast forward now to the New Testament. Because what good is prophecy if it's never been fulfilled? It's an empty promise. But if we flip over to Matthew 1:1-17, this is the section where the genealogy of Christ is discussed. And it's a long section. I had to kind of cut out a lot of the genealogy so that I don't lose you guys all and you all fall asleep. But I'll read through a bit. So from Abraham, he was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. We're going to skip ahead here to verse 6. And Jesse, the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam. And then to 15. And Matthan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, whom Jesus Christ was born, who is called Christ. And there's a really cool little section in verse 17 that, you know, just shows that even when we don't see it, God has patterns. And so verse 17 says, so all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon was another 14 generations. And from the deportation of Babylon to Christ is another 14 generations. So, you know, count from when Christ came, count another 14 generations and I would assume that something good is going to happen. It's obviously I don't have no knowledge of that, but it's there is a pattern going on there. The next prophecy, the Messiah, his mother will be a virgin. Mothers and fathers, you know that that is a miracle. That's not how it works. So, for there is not many parents who have kids who can ever say that, and that's a very important thing. That it's not that a lot of these prophecies and these signs, they're not things that come easy. And in Isaiah 7:14, which was hundreds and hundreds of years, probably about 700 years, I think, before Christ, this was written. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then Matthew 1:18-23 is the birth of Christ. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being just a man, was unwilling, being a just man, not just a man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly, because he thought she had slept with someone else, you know, because virgin births don't just happen. So, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And this is a quote of Isaiah. Behold, in number 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. It's all connecting. So again, I ask you, are you starting to recognize him? The Messiah will be a descendant of Jacob and Isaac. In Genesis 17:9, God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant of his offspring after him. And then this is fulfilled in Matthew 1:2-16. I really shorted it, but it's pretty much the same passage we read earlier, but it said, Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. And then to 16, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, is called the Christ. Moving ahead, the Messiah will be born in the town of Bethlehem. Well, we saw a little play of that this morning, and in Micah 5:1-4, this was prophesied long before. And I'm going to shorten this up a little bit, but in verse 2, it says, but you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. That's referring to God himself. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And that is shown in fulfillment in Luke 2:1-7. And That's just the story, as we know, when the census takes place. Jesus is not from Bethlehem. But because of the census, because God works everything out, he had to go to his father's hometown because his father was connected to King David through the lineage. They had to go to Bethlehem to be counted through the census. And God brought Joseph and Mary and Jesus and Belly to there to fulfill this prophecy. The Messiah will be called out of Egypt. Now, so Jesus is really getting around. He was, conceived by the Holy Spirit in Nazareth. He travels, makes his way down to Bethlehem to be born. And then after that, I believe they go back to Nazareth for a bit, but then they find out that there's that Herod is in a fit of rage, and he thinks his kingship is threatened, so he's going to kill all the babies under 2 years old. So they flee to Egypt. And, so in Hosea 11:1, it says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." And in Matthew 2:13-15, as I had said, the angel told Joseph in a dream to wake up and go and take his family and flee to Egypt. The Messiah will be a member of the tribe of Judah, and Genesis 49:10 says the scepter, I'm like, ooh, what's that word mean? Scepter is used in the reference of the royal line descended from Judah. So it's saying, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of his peoples." And that is fulfilled in Luke 3:23-38. That's another passage of the lineage. And I encourage you to look that up if you want. I can give you those verses, but time is evaporating on me. So, the Messiah will enter the temple. Now, this is very important because the temple gets destroyed in AD 70 and was never rebuilt. And it was built by Solomon. I don't really know the date on that one, but it was only around for a definite point in time. It was a definite beginning and end, and it was never rebuilt. And so this, in Malachi 3:1, the prophecy was made that, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." And and then there's a really cool little story in Luke 25:32, where Jesus, there's a man, Simeon, who was a very devout, good man, loved the Lord and God, and he had a wish. And he was not very well, but he really wanted to see the Messiah before he passed away. And Simeon worked in the temple, and and God answered his prayer. And we'll pick it up in And he came in 27, "And he came in the spirit unto the temple, and when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And so shortly after he passed away, but he knew that the Lord had answered his prayer, and the Lord had come in spirit and revealed that this child coming to be dedicated was the Messiah. The Messiah will be from the lineage of King David. We went through that earlier in that passage. The Messiah's birth will be accompanied with great suffering and sorrow. Now, there's a verse in Jeremiah 31:15 where it says, "Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more." This passage is very significant for a few reasons. One, that's it's significant of the mistreatment of the Jews during their captivities and different things, and that's what they were remembering there. But also in the fact that in years later, in Jesus' time, that became a phrase, and the phrase really pointed to the proverbial mistreatment of Jewish children. And you know, so with it saying the Messiah's birth will be accompanied with great suffering and sorrow, that goes hand in hand with Herod killing all the children 2 years and younger during that time. And that's what that was pointing to. And in Matthew 2:16-18, verse 18 is a quote of Jeremiah in there. So again, I ask you, do you recognize him? Is everything that was said not a direct description of Jesus Christ? And I believe that that was just a small sample, but the scriptures are very, very evident and just undeniable that Jesus Christ, or Jesus of Nazareth, was the Messiah and is the Messiah and is reigning on the right hand side of the Lord right now in heaven. And so now you have a major choice to make. There are different categories of people here today, but everyone has a choice. And what will it be? Now, your first option is to honor Jesus and worship him. And for some of us who are already claiming believers, we say, "Oh yeah, that's an easy one. I got that one in the bag." But it's there's a lot more to it. And Revelation 3:16, it states, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you..." That doesn't make sense. But it says, sorry, I'll have to paraphrase it. I think I messed up. That he wishes that you are neither cold nor hot. "So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." So if we're here today and saying, "That's great, I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, is the Christ," and if you just throw yourself into neutral like you would a car and just sit there and enjoy the coasting, well, it's very clear in Revelation that God revealed to John that he doesn't like that very much. And that isn't the end game. It's not, okay, we want, the Bible points you to the Savior, and you take your free fire insurance and you put it in your wallet and you say, "I'm protected," and you just live a good life and coast. That's not what it's about. And, if you are in that category today, You know, I really wish that you would, use this holiday season, to fix your transmission and get going and drive. And that, God has saved you for a reason. He has a specific purpose for everyone in this room. And if you can look back on your personal life and you don't see God working in you and you don't see Him using you for any purpose, then, please, seriously find the purpose that you were saved for and that He wants to use you for. He has gifted us all. He wants us all to be active, servants of His. And that is with belief and identifying that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah is one short step. So you believe that the scriptures are pointing to Him. The second step is full surrender and taking that and moving forward. And with full surrender, if you don't have any works that say that you are part of God and that He is using you, then you have to question that surrender, because He has a will, and it's time to get on to doing it and to being showing your appreciation for His love and mercy in that way. Okay, then there's the second set type of person who may be hearing this message today, and could be someone who says that, Jesus is, I don't quite buy it. I don't think that, the Bible might say and connect very well between the Old Testament and the New Testament, but they may believe that, that the writers of the Bible just, really knew their stuff and covered their bases as well and came up with an awesome lie and, wrote the New Testament to complement the Old Testament, to deceive people. And I really hope no one here believes that today. But there are a lot of people who do believe that. And I'm going to tell you today that's completely absurd. And, the people who wrote the New Testament, they were not scholars. They were not people out to deceive. They all died and were martyred. And every week we read the persecuted church here. Well, these guys were persecuted in the worst ways possible. And they firsthand witnessed everything that Jesus did. And let me tell you that their end goal was not to deceive anyone. Their end goal was they listened to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave them the knowledge and the wisdom and the words to write, and they obeyed. And that is simply put, that's it. And the word of the Bible is very, very true. And I pray that, that if you're in that situation and you're not thinking that it's true, that you really consider it and if you need to have the intellectual side of things in order to believe and try and disprove the Bible, I challenge you to do that, because I guarantee you all it will do is prove the Bible is true, and you will end up perhaps here preaching in 10 years from now. So please do it. We need more people who are good at speaking. So, So in closing today, it's just important. 3 days from now is Christmas, and I just hope that everyone here remembers to make Jesus a major part of your Christmas and put the commercialism and everything aside and realize what is truly important. And we can give gifts and we can show love and we can show mercy and generosity, but please include Jesus in your in your festivities, and not second or last or if we have time, but first, because that is the reason for the holiday. Santa Claus, to my knowledge, was created by Coca-Cola Company. So, yeah, that's not too important. It was an advertising thing going on, and St. Nicholas, who everything stemmed from, was an awesome man from Holland, but he's no god. And he does not deserve anyone's worship at all. And every year, St. Nicholas gets worshipped at this time of year a ton in his, not in his true sense, but in the commercialized version that they made him. And yeah, my prayer is that everyone has an awesome Christmas, and that we focus on Jesus and refocus our year. We don't have many days left of 2013. I know that my 2013 could have been a lot better, and I hope that 2014 is gets off on a right foot, and the only way to do that is with Jesus guiding everything. And yeah, so once again, I ask you, do you recognize him? Will you honor him, and will you use your life as an instrument of worship for him? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I don't know the hearts of the people, and but you do. And Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to everyone, including myself. Clean out all the junk that exists in our hearts and in our minds. And Lord, I just pray that that truth will come out, and that regardless of what it is, that it will, that you will bring it to the forefront, and that it'll convict us, and that you will prove to everyone that you are God, and that you did send your son, and that you did die on the cross, and that everything that you have written in the Bible is true. And Lord, I just pray that you'll give us the intelligence to realize that the Bible is a warning, and that it is a very serious thing, and it's not just a, okay, we have some knowledge, and that's great, but it is knowledge for the purpose of moving forward and using it, and that it will bring persecution, it will bring people to hate us, but that doesn't matter, because our souls will be safe, and we'll spend eternity with you as long as we know you, and as long as we give you our lives in exchange for your son's sacrifice. And Lord, we just pray that that this holiday season, that you will, you know, you will work in everyone in this building and be with them. And Lord, I just pray that the community of Timmins in its entirety will just, will really be convicted of your, of the real reason for Christmas, and that, that sign that the Knights of Columbus put up, remember that Jesus is the reason for the season, that people will see that, and other people, other signs and other ways that you will come to the forefront, that people will remember you and honor you, and want to know you and want to have a relationship with you. Amen.